Quickening Maze, written by Adam Folds and read by Colin Moody. John walked on, passing charcoal burners sitting inside their huts, ancient things of poles walled with cut turf, old as any dwelling probably. They had to spend days out there, making sure the fires didn't catch, but slowly ate down to coal the wood piled under covers. The smoke that rose was sweet, much sweeter than at the lime kilns where John had worked off and on. He saw them look up and stare out of their darkness and risked a greeting, doffing his hat, but they didn't move. Then, half a mile away, in a clearing, there were Vardas, painted caravans, tethered horses and children and a smoking fire. A little terrier caught the scent of John and stood with its 4 feet planted, leaning towards him, as if in italics, to bark. An old woman seated near the fire, a blanket around her shoulders, looked up. John didn't move or say anything.
"Good day to you," she said.
"Good day,"
John answered. And then, to let her know he knew them, was a friend, said,
"Kushti hachintan."
She raised her eyebrows at that.
"It is. It is a good spot. You rock as Romany then, do you?"
"Somewhat I do. I was often with gypsies near my hachintan in Northamptonshire. We had many long nights. They taught me to fiddle their tunes and such. Abraham Smith and Phoebe, you know them?"
"We're Smiths here, but I don't know your crew. I haven't been in that country or had them here. This is a good spot."
She raised an arm to gesture at it.
"Plenty of land and no one pushing you off it. And the forest creatures, lots of hutchy-witches to eat in winter. This is one commons that don't seem to be getting ate up."
John shook his head and answered as one weary elder to another.
"It's criminal what is nominated law now. Theft only. Taking the common land from the people. I remember when they came to our village with their telescopes to measure and fence and parcel out. The gypsies then were driven out, the poor also."
One of the children ran over to the old lady and whispered in her ear, watching John. The others stood apart like cats, eyes among the branches. The terrier that had warned of John's coming now jogged over to join the children's conspiracy. The old woman spoke.
"He thinks you might be a forest constable or a gamekeeper who might not be keen on us here."
Wanting very much to stay in this comfortable loose nest of a place with the free people, John declared himself.
"I'm homeless myself, sleeping nearby, and often I've been arrested by gamekeepers."
This was true. He'd often been mistaken for a poacher as he skulked and wrote his poems, a man with no reason to be in that place but being there.
"What's your name?"
"John, John Clare."
"Well, I'm Judas Smith.
I take you as an acceptable man, John Clare, pale and lorn, albeit well fed, whoever you are.
I smell the wrong in men, crosswise intentions, and I don't smell that in you, with your foolish open face. I'm known for my duckering, and my predictions have proved most accurate, most accurate."
But being there.
"What's your name?"
"John, John Clare."
"Well, I'm Judas Smith.
I take you as an acceptable man, John Clare, pale and lorn, albeit well fed, whoever you are.
I smell the wrong in men, crosswise intentions, and I don't smell that in you, with your foolish open face. I'm known for my duckering, and my predictions have proved most accurate, most accurate."